Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, for healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Happy Saturday. The spring is in the air. Have you noticed? The days are starting to get longer. 2020 has been a bear, don't you think? Everybody's saying it. This has been a bear. Word has it, though, the tide's supposed to turn, so hang in there. But 2020 has gotten off to a very intense start. And from my standpoint, a lot of people, when it's like this, start to think about their health. I could tell you my phones are ringing, and people are thinking about their health because they know they've got to stay at the top of their game if they're going to make it. Sometimes make it means survive. Sometimes make it means prosper. But it's in the air. And on a morning like this, I can't think of anything else except health. So what'd you do today? That's the question. Are you that radio listener that's basically sitting home, enjoying radio shows, but not doing anything for your health? Well, it's time, guys. What do you say? Even if it's just a little bit. And the problem is, if you're over 60 and it's time to think about it and you want to engage, you don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. And you ex-jocks out there, you cheerleaders and captains of the football team, you're not 18 anymore. And the old routines don't work. And I watch people make this mistake all the time. So today's show, Vital Concepts and Exercise. I'll be doing a seminar on this in 2 weeks. Get together my group, and we go at it for 7 hours. Vital Concepts and Exercise. I'm sorry, I just don't want to hear anybody say, yeah, I know, I got the routine down. Because you don't really know what you're doing. I'm sorry to tell you this, but Tom Brady hasn't invested millions in islands in the Bahamas with Guerrera to learn how to exercise because it's that simple. It's not. There is a science to it, and I don't think too many people have it understood. I won't say I'm the only, but I'm close to the only. That I will tell you. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. My intention, my dream, is to get you to the inside track of health. And you are not on the inside track of health because people don't teach it. And the reason they don't teach it, it is not, well, let's put it this way, it's hard. It's the hard road, but it's the one that builds the foundation. You don't buy health. Health is not a service you purchase. Health is something you educate yourself so that over time you build it. That's where the cure is. That's where the miracle is. It's nowhere else. And Hollywood and radio and internet and sales and Madison Avenue are never going to tell you the truth about that. So I do. It's just common sense. I'm asking you to suffer a little bit, to suffer intelligently, not stupidly. You know, people always say, I spent all this money on my health. And I say, did you get value? I'll give you an example. I went out the other day and I went to Best Buy, which I will tell you, at least for the one here at Orange Coast, don't ever go to Best Buy. It's such a ripoff. They stink. They're just liars. And I hope they're listening because they're horrible. They stock the store with a bunch of kids that don't know anything about their merchandise. They lie through their teeth. And then when you return it, and at least they have a return policy, they try to talk you into another purchase. They stink. I hate corporations for this reason. I spent $250 on earbuds. Top of the line iPhone earbuds. They stink. Now, what do I mean? If you put your earbuds in and you walk into a store, the person you're talking to gets destroyed on the other end by the ambient sound, which, of course, the earbuds are supposed to stop and don't. And I had the salesman at Best Buy swear to me this was not the case. He said he had a pair. Some kid, 20 years old. He had a pair, and he uses them at the airport. And it's so noisy, but the person on the other end can't hear a thing. And this is what I mean. $250, I should have just burned it in the street. Yeah, I got my money back, and you know what I did? I found a guy named Henry in the on Harbor that puts in Bluetooth for $220. This guy, first of all, doesn't let me spend the $500 I was going to spend. He brings me down in price, does it in 30 minutes. Absolute flow. I mean, just perfection. I would have paid double happily for that value. And this is my point to you. When you get value, the money you put into health is worth it. When you don't get value, whether you're putting in a dollar or $1,000, it's not worth it. And this comes up all the time. I don't want to spend that kind of money. That's not what you're saying. What you're saying is you don't want to find that the money you spent doesn't bring you value. That's where the smart money is. If you put your money to where there's value, you're never going to regret it, ever. Now, health. What you're talking about is the money you put in. Are you going to get value? Well, you're not going to get value if you don't have education, because then you don't know how to invest your money. And that's my point to you. So if you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Today, vital concepts and exercise for you guys over the age of 50 and 60. I mean men and women. Number one, okay, number one. Use motion of your body in some safe, pain-free venue to first and foremost drop weight. Okay? So what does that mean? That means you or you, he or she, packing on an extra 30, 40, 50, 60, up to 100 to 200 to 300 extra pounds. Don't fall for the sucker punch because your bimbo sports trainer at one of the local places says, well, you know, the way to burn fat is to increase your metabolism. Put on some muscle. You'll just grow muscle and the fat will come off because the metabolism increases. This is retardation. Do not fall for that stupid sales hype. Yes, this is true. Later, much later, it's true. But when you're starting out age 50 plus and you're packing an extra 30, 40, 50 to 100 pounds, you have to slant the priority of your workout towards safe, effective cardiovascular. Yeah, a little bit of tone is good, but you got to slant the workout to get the heart rate up to interval train, subject for later, definitely a subject. You know, I was talking to an ex-Olympian the other day. They're under my care, and I had them go out and interval train. They did everything wrong. I don't care who you are. Do not nod your head like you understand until I give you thumbs up on this. I mean it. I'm going for it. I am sick and tired of seeing all these so-called no people, like the ones that know. They don't know anything, and that includes our Olympians. They don't know anything. That's why Brady invested so much money to learn, unlike his colleagues who don't, but they should know because they're athletes, Olympians also, and they don't know. So what you got to know now is this. If you're in the off season and extra weights come on, if you're just getting back to the game at 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 or 90 or 100, if you're 100 years old and you've got too much weight on, you got to get the weight off, which means you have to slant the workout towards cardiovascular, safe cardiovascular. Now, what's safe cardiovascular? Use the hill. Get the continuous heart rate watch on and go up the hill. What hill? I told this to someone, and what do? They go find a hill with a 70% grade. I mean, it's unbelievable. This individual finds a hill with a 70% grade and almost tears out their Achilles. I've seen three people do that over the last 2 years, just like they're supposed to know. Yeah, Doc, got it. I got it. You know, come on, I know. I was captain of the football team. I know. And they're running uphill at a grade that'll avulse their tendon. It'll tear that way. 10 to 15% grade. Nice, slow jog. Why uphill? Because the force dynamics are such that your joints can hold your weight better at a slight incline. It's just common sense. What's the most painful thing you can do for your joints, guys? Yeah, put on a pair of high heels. Guys, try it. I know it's not your thing, but try it. Put on a pair of high heels and walk down the street. Ladies, you live it. That's like going downhill. High heels is downhill. You see? When you go uphill, it's the opposite feeling. I'm not going to get into that piece of it today. This is vital concepts and exercise. One is drop the weight by slanting the workout on the cardiovascular side. Safe type of cardiovascular, like slow jogs uphill or walks uphill. Get the heart rate up. Try the elliptical. Get into the pool. This is not rocket science, but people screw it up all the time. So there's the first concept. Drop the weight. Now, the second piece. Remember in yesteryear when you had a trainer? And what was the purpose of the trainer? The purpose of the trainer, specific to the sport, could be the dance teacher, could be your boxing coach. Specific to the sport, the purpose of the trainer was to watch your form. Form means biomechanics. Form means the alignment you hold when you execute the sport. Biomechanics means how the joint is supposed to receive its compression. Biomechanics means what angle of compression, what vector. You engineers, architects, you get vector. What vector of force into the joint is the joint designed to receive? Is your weight being distributed correctly through the joints? Biomechanics means go put on a pair of high heels and jog down the hill. That's it. Do that. Don't do that, but you get my point. Actually, do that. Go ahead. Put on a pair of high heels and do a soft, gentle jog down the hill and watch how good you feel. Right? You get it. That would kill you. That's torture. Don't do that. You can't even imagine it. How about if you take those high heels off and you walk up a hill? Or you take your high heels off and you walk on the plush carpet of your living room after you get home from a long day or a long night dancing. Right? I mean, it's laughable. Back in the day in New York, Studio 54, Magique. I was too young for Studio 54, but Magique would follow Studio 54. Some of you New Yorkers out there remember. You'd watch these people come in from Queens and Brooklyn and stand on line for 10 hours, and they'd be wearing these platform shoes, like these 4'9" women with 6'6". And the guys were all putting stuff in their shoes, and it was ludicrous. It was absolutely ludicrous what you'd see, because those were the people, if they even got in, they'd be dancing all night. When you take your shoes off, ladies, what you shift is your biomechanics. The lines of gravity through the joint change when you take a high heel off and go flat foot. And of course, you know how good you feel. Faulty, incorrect biomechanics is when your high heels are on. Correct biomechanics or corrective biomechanics are when your heels are off. and you're flat-footed. Now, you know how good that feels. Here's what you don't know. Everything you wear to work, even if you're bare feet, whatever your version is of biomechanics, however it feels in your joints, you can improve it enormously. You can improve it enormously. You must improve it enormously if you're going to work out. Because you see, if your biomechanics flat-footed is all wrong, it's all off, it doesn't work, you can get away with that as long as you walk to the car, you walk to the desk, you plop down at the desk, you walk back to the car, you walk in your house, you take a soft stroll in the park. You can get away with bad biomechanics if you're like that, usually. But when it comes to athleticism, when it comes to getting in shape, when it comes to doing what you want to do on a Saturday morning like today, when it comes to watching people get sick, you know, that recent, you know, Rush Limbaugh thing, it's heartbreaking. Advanced stage 4. People got health on their mind. What happened to Kobe at his age? I mean, man, this has been a rough year. No two ways about it. You're interested in your health, so you have to move your body. You can't get away with faulty biomechanics. So number one takeaway, the weight loss thing and slanting the workout towards weight loss. Number two, you have to correct your biomechanics. Who does? You do. Everyone does. What does that mean? Well, the form that trainer was trying to teach you is usually screwed up because he's trying to have you move your body in a way that he considers important. He's imposing biomechanics on you. He's imposing correct biomechanics. And the whole problem is you can't perform. You know why? You're not flexible. There you go. Duck left, weave right, cock back, pull back, slant back, tip back. Every single corrective counsel that your trainer gives you in the name of perfect biomechanics as you execute your run, as you execute your backhand, as you execute your breaststroke, as you execute your right hook, your left jab, your right jab, your left hook. Every bit of counsel you get is superimposed garbage because you're not flexible. The only way you can shift alignment as you execute is by being trained to do that. And the first step is getting flexible. Go to show 243 and show 244 on that topic. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. No doubt you've pulled the car over and are listening in awe. You should be, because there's no one that understands it this well. Sorry, I'll do my own bragging. Nobody understands it this well. They just don't. Get to my website, straighttalk.cc, not .com, .cc, that's with two T's. Listen to my shows, especially on exercise if you're interested in today's subject. Show 243, 244. Don't just look at the pictures like the comics on Sunday. Listen to the whole show, the words. I'm trying to give you the inside track on what it is to realign yourself. Not the garbage cell, but the inside track. That's where the smart money is. That's where value is. That's where you feel that what you spent was spent well. Spending is not your problem. Spending with value is your problem. So when you go to those shows, they tell you stretch, learn to stretch and release the structural muscles. The groin, which is the lower end of the psoas. Back bend into the upper end of the psoas. The foam roller into the upper end of the psoas. Behind the knee, the belly of the hamstring. Learn to work that line between the back of the knee, the belly of the gastroc and the Achilles tendon. Note, you can't get to the Achilles tendon because the gastroc is so tight, you can't access Achilles. Working the line of tension rather than doing one stretch for what you think is the right form. No, you work the line. You find the tension. Work the line of tension. You find where the tension is and you work the tension out. And understand, you can't even get to certain body parts if other body parts don't get flexible. Yeah. Yeah, take it in. Not with your brain. Take it in with your soul right now. In the end, you have to be able to shift the way your body distributes its weight. What does that mean? It means when you take your high heels off, your body's distributing its weight correctly. When you're done stretching, it should feel like you took your high heels off. I have clients, when they learn to stretch, right after the stretch, they can barely walk. They've shifted their weight so intensely. That's what you call correcting the biomechanics. Is that your experience? No, it's not. And that's what you got to do. Because if you can't correct your biomechanics, you cannot accelerate into the workout. So number one, drop the weight when appropriate. Highest priority. Number two, learn center. Learn to shift the biomechanics. Know what that feels like by learning to stretch. Why? Why is this so important? You cannot generate power unless you can shift your gravity lines as you execute the task. I'll say it again. You will not have power. You will not be able to accelerate with intensity into your sport, into your hobby, into your craft, into your profession, until you can shift the force dynamic through the joint, because you've learned to do that because you're flexible enough to achieve that. That's what the form is all about. A trainer that knows what form is has no problem translating instructions and watching his student accept that into their execution of task, their kick, their throw, whatever it is. If the student understands how to shift their body weight because they're flexible enough. But if you're not flexible enough, you can never embrace counsel. So there's number two. Learn how to be flexible enough to shift your biomechanics. There's two. Here's the third one. And again, remember, I'm going to go on air after this show. I'm going to do a show that I post as a sequel to my half hour here on the website, straighttalk.cc. And I'll go on another half an hour. I'll get into more finite detail. This is kind of like the Spicer. Because I know you guys don't, you know, there's only so much you can take. But I'm going to do another half an hour after this. So in an hour or so, go on the site. You'll see the full show. This is the half hour show. You'll see the 1 hour show later on today. Here's another one. Get this. You yoga people, you choke on this one all the time. You choke on this. You don't know this. And your instructors don't have enough education to teach you this. Here's the deal. When you go into Pilates, when you go into these yoga classes, when you try to hold these poses, do these exercises, which are basically calisthenics, downward dog to upper dog to flow, to warrior one, to warrior two, to the whole thing. It's like gymnastics. It's isometrics often. And if it's not isometrics, it's variations of that, all of which are like a calisthenic. Now, you're not doing push-ups, but Cobra is almost like a push-up. It's the same thing with Pilates. You can be on Reformer and Executioner and the whole slew of these Pilates machines. The chair. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is, if you don't have enough muscle mass, meaning if your muscle's not thick enough, if it's not, if it doesn't have enough thickness to each muscle fiber, that's called increasing the mass. If your bicep has 10,000 fibers, little muscle fibers, you can grow each fiber thicker. That's increasing mass. There's a point at which you have to have a workout regimen to grow the mass in your muscular fibers sufficient to perform the task. You have to have enough mass in each muscle fiber to perform the task. So if you've got a job where you have to turn a lever like a switch, or you have to steer the wheel of the car, or steer the wheel of a boat, or you've got to pick up 5-pound boxes, or you have to work at a cash register, you have to have enough thickness in the muscle to make the task absolutely easy. If you don't, you're going to strain the joint. Each task, each thing you got to do, demands an adequate amount of thickness in each muscle fiber called mass. Without sufficient mass, you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to strain the joint or the tendon. What you're told, and this is where everyone makes a mistake, is just keep doing it. You know, Charlie, you got to tone those muscles up. You know, that upward dog, the crow, the downward dog. You know, you can't really do it, but if you keep doing it, you'll tone it up and do it. Same myth in Pilates. Just keep repeating it and it'll work. Nonsense. You have to do other forms of muscular contraction to make the muscles thicker. And then when you go back to that upward dog, etc., it's a cinch. All right, that's the first half an hour. Get on the site an hour. If not, great to talk to you today. I'll see you guys next week. Enjoy your day.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.
Okay, part two. I liked part one. I'm not going to be able to cover, of course, this whole thing in another half an hour. But you'd have a migraine headache if I tried to. So let's be glad it's just an hour for both of us. Good to talk to you all. I don't want to sound cocky, because I'm not. But I know I'm intense, and that's okay. But without trying to sound cocky, let me just say this. I'm sorry. I don't care what your level of expertise is. I don't think you really know what you're talking about when you're talking about exercise. And I have too many examples of this, which is not to say everybody. But, you know, if you're a Pilates instructor, if you're a yogic, if you're a weightlifter, if you've been an Olympian, please listen up, man. The first 30 minutes... If you've got the middle-aged paunch on there and you remember back in the day when you were head of the football team and you've got 60, 70 years on the chassis and you're in muscle atrophy, bottom line, drop the weight first. So shunt, design it to drop the weight. Don't buy this load of crap out there. Well, you know, you got to put that muscle on, because when you put that muscle on, that's the thing that's going to really like increase your metabolism 24/7. And on that basis, you're going to drop weight. This is kind of true. Later, it becomes very important. But what I see people do is they screw up the cardiovascular piece. They don't even do it. because they want to feel buff and they think pumping iron is going to make it happen. And this just doesn't work. So I don't even want to get into it. If you've got the weight on, get the weight off. And if you don't even exercise, get the weight off. But really, the sensible way to do it, and for whatever reason, the only way to do it for a lot of people, and that's not everybody, but for a lot of people, you got to move to get the weight off. Done. So, painless ways of moving to get the weight off. Uphill. And you're going to hear me just jam on this. Which is not to say it's got to be a hill. The ellipticals will do a good job. The treadmills, inclined, will do a decent job. The Stairmasters, a little bit of all three. The point is you have to interval train in a way that does not hurt your joints. Interval train in a way that doesn't hurt your joints. A classic mistake is the bicycle. By the time your heart rate's up at 140, 150, 160, you've blown out your knee because you're on that stupid bicycle. That's not a great way to do things, bicycles. They're a lot of fun. But you see, now you got to relax, right? That's the deal here. I talk, you listen. What you've got to relax behind on this deal is a bicycle denies you the possibility of shifting your alignment. It denies you that. That's huge. When you're walking, jogging, running, those shifts from head down the spine to the sacrum, through the knee to the feet, are all part of what you're doing when you're moving your body. You're not going to do that on a bicycle. And right there, you're messed up. So get rid of that bicycle thing. I mean, I know some of you do it, but it's really a crummy exercise to drop weight with. If you want to do it because you love it and it feels good and it's great exercise, do it. But this is for the trained athlete. It's not something you take a fatty with and you work that fatty in a way where fatty loses all their fat. Bicycles are rough. Ellipticals. Stairmasters. Stair climbers. This kind of thing. All right? Now, interval training. What does it mean? Very simple. First of all, you get a watch that measures your heart rate continuously. That means while you're heaving and hawing and trying to huffing and puffing, you look at your watch and it tells you your heart rate. Then a second later, you look at your watch. It means not that stupid thing you people use. I don't know. I just don't get it. This thing you tie around your chest and it tells you your heart rate periodically. What planet are we on? I have people do this. They tie these things on their chest and then they get like 6 or 7 measurements. This is not what we're talking about. Get the thing on the watch and then move. And as you move, your heart rate changes. That's what you do. Now, what do you do with it? Well, you put it on your wrist and then you get on your Stairmaster, you get on your treadmill, you get on your elliptical. Ideally, you get up the hill and you start walking or jogging. And you'll see because of the incline. What incline? On a hill, it's 10 to 15 to 20%, not more. You start moving, your heart rate goes up. You start heaving, your heart rate goes up. I don't care whether you're doing this 1 minute, 2 seconds. I don't care if within 10 seconds this happens. But the minute you can't breathe, the minute you're breathing in and it's hard to do, I want you to rest. So if we're starting out with day one, and you've got the watch on, and you're at a hill, and in 10 seconds you're out of your breath, you rest. But you've got to get it to where you have enough wind, again, without pushing it. You have enough lung capacity, heart capacity, to get it to where you can move up that hill or beyond that elliptical long enough to see your heart rate, fast enough to see your heart rate get to 140, 150, 160. You can check with your cardiologist to see what a good heart rate is. And once you get that number, you have to sustain that heart rate for 10 to 15 to preferably 20 to preferably 30 seconds. Then you rest. That means you let your heart rate come down under 100. Then you start up again. And as you're moving, your heart rate goes up and it goes up and it goes up. And you've got enough wind and breath capacity, lung capacity to handle it. And once it gets up to 140, 150, 160, check with your cardiologist to see what the proper number should be. All right? If you've got congestive heart failure, if you've got a pacemaker, if you're sick as a dog in the cardiovascular system, whatever scenario, use your common sense. People don't. But if you don't have these special problems, and even if you do, there's some point at which you can get your heart rate up and you're pretty good. Meaning you're not feeling like you're going to die. When that point hits 140, 150, 160, sustain that intensity for 20 to 30 seconds. Then let it down under 100. Do that for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Ideally, 20 to 30 minutes in an up-down manner where your heart rate's topping up at 150, 160, going down, then coming up, then going down. That's what you call interval training on the cardiovascular circuit. You can add all sorts of freaky deaky stuff like dive in a pool, your own pool, the pool at your spa with a weighted vest on. And you'll get the heart rate up that way. There's a very, very joint safe way to do it in the ocean. That's what I was saying on radio earlier. I want to get off this. Because that's the only way, not the only way, but that greatly influences the rate of your weight loss. So this is one piece. Now, why do you have to do that? Because eventually you have to shift your alignment. I think I did a great job in the first half of the show, kind of explaining what I mean by that. And once you learn to shift your alignment because you're flexible enough, because you know what it feels like, now you've got the weight loss and the alignment thing working for you. To which then you can add the third feature, which is after 50 or 60, especially the women, if you're in muscle atrophy, or not necessarily muscle atrophy, but the task you're required to do is not being executed with enough muscle mass. So, okay, I'll give you a dumb example. You work, say, for UPS. And you got to move boxes around. If your muscles aren't thick enough, if you don't have enough mass, meaning if the muscles of your body, if each fiber is not thick enough, you will not be able to lift the boxes without straining your joint. This occurs at the cash register. Carpal tunnel. This occurs everywhere. Gardening, construction, driving a bus, driving an Uber, being a waitress, being a bartender, these problems always occur, and that's because someone doesn't have muscle mass. So what do? They go to some physical therapist who gives them 3 pounds to move around when they needed to get strong with 15. Oh, you're such a little nice old lady. We're going to really try to help you now. Here's a half a pound. You see, and this is the kind of stupidity that it just predominates. That little old lady may need to start with half a pound, but that little old lady better show some beef over 2 months, 4 months, 6 months, or a year. That little old lady at half a pound needs to be up there at 7 or 8 pounds, or she's not going to develop enough mass to prevent joint injury. You see how it works? And this is true of every part of your body. You have to build sufficient mass. Well, how much mass do you need? What am I going to be, a swami? It depends on each person. But what you have to consider, and you can come make an appointment with me to consider, what you have to, or anybody, what you have to consider is that the task you're being asked to perform at your job, in your sport, at your recreational hobby, that the task doesn't have enough musculature to prevent the joint or the tendon from pulling, avulsing, or straining. All right, now this is gold. I just gave you guys gold. You're not going to get this from a Pilates instructor. Believe me, all they do is tone you. They're into toning. They wouldn't know who needs to build mass and how to do it in a million years. Then they give you the rubber bands. Yeah, that isn't what I'm talking about. You don't build mass with rubber bands. You tone with rubber bands. This is about good old Arnold Schwarzenegger. Good old fashioned get the weights going. Which doesn't mean you're a monkey, meaning it doesn't mean you do it aggressively and disrespectfully to your body. It just means that you do it intelligently over time, and then we grab your arm or your leg or your calf or your neck or your buttocks, and we say, you put some meat on there. And you'll say, yeah, I did, and I feel better. I feel more grounded. I feel more stable. I feel like there's less joint stress. That's what I'm talking about. Enough muscle mass to take the stress off the joint. Without the muscles, the joint suffers. Okay, that's a big, big, big principle. All right, good. Let's keep going. Here's another thing. If you're trying to exercise to increase speed, to increase strength, and you don't do a thorough warm-up to the point where you can shift center, your cucalata, your cuckoo. And I see people make this mistake all the time. You really shouldn't be pumping iron until you're warmed up. You shouldn't be accelerating into the sprint until you're warmed up. You shouldn't really be intensifying the task until the body's been preconditioned through stretching and through bringing the body to a level of motion intensity to where it's sweating. Before you engage high intensity, you need to be sweating. Before you engage in high-intensity contraction through your body, whether it's the whole body because you're rope climbing, whether it's your whole body because you're pole vaulting, whether it's your whole body because you're leaping over the bar, whether it's your whole body because you're wrestling, whether it's your whole body because you're playing tennis, whether it's your whole body because you're really hiking uphill, whether it's your whole body because you're rock climbing, whether it's your whole body because you're swimming, whether it's your whole body because you're whatever, before you do it, you want to know center, and you want to be warmed up in the warm-up to the point where you're sweating somewhat. See, a really good coach, a really good trainer will know this. And they will warm you up. They won't let you go high intensity until you're ready. Otherwise, you what? You're going to hurt yourself. You will hurt yourself. And you will hurt yourself unnecessarily. So, pearl number four. Do not engage high intensity until you get the alignment shift. Do not engage high intensity until your body's sweated and you've really warmed yourself up. Just common sense, but go apply it and then watch how maybe it's not common sense. If it was common sense, it would be common, which it's not. Even at an Olympic or professional level, it's not. Okay, now, the absolute importance of engaging a full body contraction or contracting multiple groups of muscles in a known task that requires multiple groups of muscles. Climbing rope. And again, this is where I got you. Once you get to the point where you're ready to engage multiple groups of muscles, you're already in shape. You shouldn't be doing that to get into shape. You should start that when you're already in good shape. But if you want to get from second base shape into great shape, you have to switch from singular groups or a couple of groups of muscles to multiple groups. So let's just take gymnastics. Let's take rock climbing. There's two. I can't use swimming because swimming is such a unique example. But let's take rock climbing. Let's take wrestling. Let's take boxing, martial arts. I don't want to say tennis, even though I could. So I said tennis. I'm not saying badminton. I'm sorry. I don't know, what is this badminton thing? Now, it's a lot of fun, actually. I shouldn't say that, but it's kind of like badminton. I'm from New York, man. Badminton, get out of here. New York, you get shot for playing something like badminton. Ping pong. God. No, not really those last two. But when you got to engage multiple groups of muscles, like wrestling, you got to be in good shape already. Not great shape to start, but good shape. And on that basis, you have to wait until you're in great shape or good shape. Then you have to do it. Because if you relegate your workout to jogging, and you got your weight off and you're stretching, and then you're going to move on into the weight room. Hey, what are you doing today? Oh, just arms and chest. What are you doing tomorrow? Doing legs and buttocks. Okay, good. What are you doing the next day? I'm going to hit the abs and do all sorts of the abs. I'm only going to work muscle group to muscle group to muscle group. This is good, guys. Because that has its place. But if you don't progress to a full body workout, you're missing the point. You're not going to get what you want. Certainly, if you're sports training, you're in trouble. And just for, you know, your average grandfather at 70 that wants health, he's got to go full body. What do the old people do? What do the older people do? Excuse me. What do the older people do? They skip muscle mass. They skip building enough muscle in each body part to sustain them in what ultimately becomes a full body workout. So what's your average older person do? They're 70, they're in muscle atrophy, they remember that they're king of the football team 60 years ago, that is, and what do? They go and they start rock climbing, or they go to a yoga class, or they decide to go out on the yacht, and they blow out every joint and every muscle in their body. Then they decide to go to Pilates, and Pilates just tones them. That's what they do. But if they did it right, and if you've done it right, at some point, I'll call it the second base point, you have got to start going into something that contracts multiple muscle groups. That requires coordination. So you start rock climbing. You start gymnastics. You start rope climbing. Then you can start to do it against resistance. What does that mean? Well, we know the ultimate one, or one of them. Even Tom Brady knows this. You know those guys, they sprint forward against the parachute? You ever see those cats? That's what I'm talking about. Now you've turned it into a full body exercise. Wind surfing is a full body exercise. Now, rock climbing is a full body exercise, but if you want to increase the efficiency, throw 30 pounds on your back. Rock climbers all know how one extra pound on your back makes a huge difference. A huge difference. A huge difference. Underwater. Go underwater and swim for a minute. Go underwater and swim for 2 minutes. Go underwater and swim for 6 minutes, 5 minutes. Now go underwater and put 20 pounds of weight around your waist, or a weighted vest with 20 pounds. How about treading water with a 50-50 weight? You see, you shouldn't start that way. But if you want to take it past second base, you do an exercise against resistance that requires all your body. Absolutely critical. Absolutely critical. So, multiple muscle groups, interval training, making sure you have sufficient muscle mass, making sure you're flexible enough to the point where you can actually realign your biomechanics. That's big stuff, man. If you're nodding your head and you're acting like you know, I really want you to check yourself. I really do. Because I don't have any time to waste in my life. And I don't think I'm wasting it. But I hear a lot of people look at me and go, yeah, I know. And they don't know. So really take this to heart. All right, that's enough for today. That's 20-25 minutes on top of the show. All right, I'll add one more thing, another vital concept. Sooner or later, you have to get cross-fibered. You have to get your muscles peeled off your bone. Because muscles cannot contract and lengthen. Muscles cannot contract and lengthen if the fascia in between each myofibril and around the gully, the girth of the muscle, if the superficial, intermediate, and deep fascia, if the fascia on the bone, between the muscle and the bone, on the periosteum, all of which are not sufficiently cross-fibered to the point where you know through palpatory experience, through palpatory assessment, you can peel the muscle off the bone. If you're not there, man, forget it. It ain't happening for you, especially if you're on the comeback trail after 50. You're never going to get to where you want to go unless you get peeled. All right? If you've heard this and this didn't blow your socks. I don't know what to say, that I'm on another planet. But I think you just got six vital concepts. I'm doing a seminar in two Sundays. So what's two Sundays from now? It's today is the 8th. Tomorrow's the 9th. So February 23rd. I hope I have that date right. I believe I have that date right. Tomorrow's the 9th. Yeah, February 23rd. I'm doing a seminar February 23rd. You are invited. You want to learn about any of this stuff and way more, you come to the seminar. 7 hours, it's $150 a head. It's always worth your investment. You will get value on your investment. All right, that's it. Good to hear from you. And those of you around the United States, I'm doing a webinar soon. It's a webinar. Now, the webinar means you can be in Armenia or Thailand or Russia or Antarctica or New York or Northern California. I'm going to do a webinar. I'm going to get about 20 people together. Maybe just 15. At least I'm going to put it in groups of that. And we're going to move the ball of health for you. I'm going to teach you via webinar. And it's a club. It's Health Club 2020. If you're in the club, you pay the dues to be discussed. And then there's all the benefits of a club, which includes videos, the seminars every month. One time per month, I'm doing a chat room where the members of my club are going interactive with me, and we're discussing the nuances of everything I bring to you. All right, that's webinar style. It's occurred to me that there's a certain advantage to that versus one-on-one, meaning versus groups in person. There's advantages when you put people together in a classroom, and there's advantages when you do webinars. And I'm offering it everywhere. Of course, for you guys out of town, that's the webinar. I mean, that's the ticket. You can't travel. So we'll start there, see how it rock and rolls. You got the vital concepts of health. And it's been a pleasure. As you've noticed, it's always getting better. All right, God bless you. We'll see you next week.